Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by our next guest. NFL insider Brian Baldinger. All our insider calls are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far the extra mile really goes. We welcome Brian Baldinger onto the show. Baldy, appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure, guys. Good to be with you. Thanks.
No, we appreciate it. Let's start with the offensive line, and let's start up front. What makes Cleveland's offensive line so good, in your opinion?
Well, they really are cohesive. You know, they clearly play well together. I mean, they're individually really good players. Joel Petonio, J.C. Treader have been in the Pro Bowl. I mean, they're really good players individually. But how they really develop Wyatt Teller, how they played, you know, with two new tackles and Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills, how they're coached by Bill Callahan, how the backs and the tight ends all fit in the scheme, whether it's protection or in the run game. I mean, they just play so well together that if a guy does make a mistake or get beat, the next guy is cleaning it up. So they're just really a cohesive unit, and they've been like that for much of the season.
So, Baldy, when you look at the Cleveland offensive line against the Kansas City defensive line, and they certainly got some big-time names on there with Frank Clark and Chris Jones, do you think Kansas City is going to be able to get pressure, unlike what we saw from Pittsburgh against that Browns offensive line?
Well, they're going to have to play better than Pittsburgh. I mean, T.J. Watt didn't get a lick. He's led the league in sacks. And, you know, I mean, Cam Hayward didn't get close to Baker. So they did a good job of stoning him at the line of scrimmage. I mean, I think if – you know, I mean, I know Spags. If he's not getting pressure, you know, he's going to start bringing some pressure, you know, and adding to it. And, you know, he's got a great package of different pressures that he can draw from, a lot of different ways they can get there to really speed up the process of Baker Mayfield and trying to force him into mistakes, which he's been reluctant to make, you know, the second half of the season this year.
How much different do you think Baker is than he was, let's say, even earlier this season? Does it feel like to you, Baldy, that he turned a corner during this year?
Oh, no question. No question. But, you know, I mean, I was always a Baker fan, going back to doing, you know, a lot of games in the Big 12 when he was there. I was always a fan. I was a fan, especially his rookie season. I thought he was dynamic. And then, you know, the whole team just regressed last year, and they were very undisciplined. They had a lot of horrible penalties that they took that always put them in negative situations. And the receivers were hurt all year, didn't practice, you know, whether it was Juice Landry or Odell Beckham. They both had major injuries. So they just didn't get the time they needed. But I think this year, I mean, first of all, it's very clear what the offense is about. It's about running the football and play-action passes and screen game. I mean, it's a quarterback-friendly system. But, you know, like, you know, they played Tennessee a few weeks ago, and they came out throwing the ball against Tennessee, and Baker was terrific. You know, he's always been accurate in the deep ball, but I think his reads are crisper right now. He's always had the ability to extend plays. You know, I mean, he's not the fastest guy, but he's very quick. He's good in the pocket. He's got good pocket awareness. And so the mistakes have just dropped off, and he simply understands that you can't turn the ball over in this business, and he's been very careful about doing that.
What do you think about this Browns defense? Because even though they can put up points, they can also give up a lot of points, and now they're going up against the quarterback that can put up a lot of points. How do you think that this Browns defense, and specifically Myles Garrett, tries to handle Patrick Mahomes?
Well, you know, Myles Garrett, I mean, if you just look at the numbers, but I mean, you know, he came down with COVID, and, you know, he said it kicked his butt. And I still don't think he's right. I mean, he still comes out of the game too frequently. I haven't seen the power that I saw, you know, the first 3 years in the league from him since he came down with it. And so I think he's been slow now. You know, he might turn a corner this week, and if he does, nobody turns a corner like Myles Garrett. They lost Olivier Vernon. It's a big loss. He was playing better than any, you know, defensive lineman on that team. The secondary has been ravaged by injuries, but they're going to get Denzel Ward back. But let's face it, they're not an elite secondary. They're not really an elite defense unless they are, you know, just getting to your quarterback with the four-man rush where, you know, they can afford to, you know, help out in other areas. So, it may be just an aerial assault by Kansas City on this team and just take them out of their game plan early. I'm sure Andy Reid's going to try and get that done this week.
Right now we're talking to Brian Baldinger, who played on the offensive line in the NFL from 1982 up until 1993. Baldy, let's go back to what you said about Myles Garrett. Given the COVID situation and him maybe not playing at where he was before, do you still think he's a guy capable of wrecking this game? Like, I think Myles Garrett is one of the five best pass rushers in the league. Do you think he's a guy who could get two sacks, two and a half sacks, and maybe force a turnover, maybe score a defensive touchdown, and really swing things in the Browns' favor?
I think he's the best pass rusher in the NFL. But, you know, like I said, I mean, this COVID thing, whether it's his endurance right now or his strength, something's just not there that has always been there. I mean, nobody turns a corner like he – I mean, he's Bruce Smith with more power. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. We got to see. I mean, I think Andy Heck and Andy Reid, you know, the offensive line coach, Andy, I think they are savvy enough to know that if – you know, Fisher's having difficulty out there, that, you know, they're not beyond giving him some help and chipping over there and doing all the things you got to do. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes plays this game with as much awareness as anybody. He'll have his radar up if Myles Garrett's turned the corner. I mean, he's capable of wrecking a game because he can get the ball out of a quarterback's hands the way, you know, let's say Nick Bosa can and just a couple of other guys in this league. But can it happen? Yes, it can happen. Do I expect it to happen? I think Kansas City is going to be, you know, pretty cautious about that happening.
Baldy, it feels like everybody's talking about the Browns in a different way that pretty much they have my entire life because they finally won a playoff game. Do you think that what happened versus Pittsburgh on Sunday says more about Cleveland and the team that they've became or Pittsburgh that was just, they were such a sinking ship the second half of the season?
Pittsburgh was awful. I mean, you know, they gave them 14 points, and they didn't look like they were interested in tackling anybody. So, I mean, that was a big part of it. That's a huge part. But, you know, that being said, Cleveland, you know, when they had to put the game away, they threw the screen to Chubb, and he finished it. Those two backs, I mean, you guys know Kareem Hunt well. Those two backs break as many tackles as anybody in this business. I mean, they make a lot of people miss, and they break a lot of tackles. They are a handful for anybody to handle. So you better bring your big boy pads and your neck rolls and the whole thing to this contest because those guys don't go down on contact. They're great contact backs. So they were benefited by a really poor display by Pittsburgh, no doubt. But at the same time, they did a lot of good things in that game. I mean, Baker Mayfield wasn't sacked. He wasn't touched basically the entire game. So they did a lot of good things up front. To help that 48-point effort.
Baldy, last couple questions here, and we appreciate your time. You said that you thought Kansas City could have an aerial assault, and you look at the Browns' defense and their secondary as not being elite. Do you give the Browns any chance of matching up defensively with Kansas City with their secondary? Because I don't.
You're saying Kansas City secondary is much better than what Cleveland's going to put out there?
No, I was saying Kansas City's passing attack up against the Cleveland secondary. You mentioned that you thought Kansas City could really exploit it. I'm looking at, I know that Cleveland's getting back Denzel Ward, but I don't think Ward's going to be enough in this game.
No, I agree. No, I mean, there's, you know, nobody really matches up with Travis Kelce, you know, and when they're clicking, I mean, you know, look, let's face it. I mean, they look like they were, you know, bored for most of the season in most of the games, but yet, you know, still found a way to win all those games. You know, they got to turn it on now, you know, because it's been, you know, there hasn't been many games, and you watch them all, where they look like just a juggernaut four quarters, you know, start to finish. You know, there weren't many games where they look like that, but they certainly have that capability. And if they play to that capability, I don't think there's much Cleveland can do.
Last thing here, you say there's not much you think Cleveland's going to be able to do if Cleveland's able to pull off this upset because they're a double-digit underdog in Vegas. What do you think Cleveland does to win the game?
Well, I mean, you start with the number of possessions. So if they can control the ball on the ground and through just a real patient offensive attack and keep Mahomes on the sideline and limit Kansas City to 7 or 8 possessions, which I've seen, you know, some teams certainly try to do. And so then, you've got 8 possessions, let's say, on the high end. And if you could take it away once, you know, and, you know, force a couple of, you know, third down stops the way, let's say, the Raiders did, you know, at Arrowhead this year, you know, and it's all of a sudden, you know, you take that firepower of a team that's very capable of scoring 40 and, you know, you put them in the 20s and you just bring the score way down. I mean, I think that's, you know, it's one way I would pitch it. You know, if I was Cleveland, like, this is what we can do. And so, you know, that I'd be looking at that type of concept. You know, just Mahomes gets the, you know, even if they score, let's say, on 3 possessions in the first half, you know, if they can just limit them to 7 or 8 possessions, I think, you know, it goes in their favor. And the longer the game stays close, and that means, you know, within 10 points, you know, the better you give, you know, Cleveland of maybe pulling off an upset.
And that is our radio.com sports insider, Brian Baldinger. All insider calls are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz Vans today and find out how far the extra mile really goes. Happy to be joined by Brian Baldinger, former NFL offensive lineman from 1982 to 1993, one of the best analysts in the game. Baldy, appreciate you coming on today, man. Thanks a bunch.
Hey, my pleasure. Enjoy the game this weekend. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. That's Brian Baldinger joining us on the show today. Talking to Baldy got me thinking this question. I think you're the perfect person to ask this to. Might even open up the phone lines and ask this question. Who do you think is the bigger absence, or who do you think is going to be missed more this postseason run as it currently sits? Sammy Watkins, and I know you're not a big fan of Sammy Watkins, but let me go through his game logs in the playoffs in the 5 Kansas City playoff games he's been a part of. 6 for 62, 4 for 114, 2 for 76, 7 for 114, 5 for 98 yards. I know you don't believe in playoff Sammy Watkins, but the numbers are really strong that Sammy Watkins, for whatever reason, I don't know if his advanced reptilian solar being molecules just start working at this point in the season, but he's been really good the last 2 Januaries for the Kansas City Chiefs. Or do you think it's Mitchell Schwartz on the right side? All-pro type player, Pro Bowl type player, best offensive lineman on this team. They haven't had him for like the last 7 or 8 weeks. Who do you think could potentially be missed more this postseason? Sammy Watkins or Mitchell Schwartz?
I mean, they've just gone so long this season without Mitchell Schwartz that it feels like, I'm not saying they've been able to replace him, but they've been okay. Sammy Watkins, I mean, you're right. I can't argue the numbers in the playoffs. I don't know. If you made me bet right now, I don't think Sammy Watkins is going to play. I mean, do we have any sort of a track record, any sort of a history to know when Sammy Watkins gets banged up, whether it's mental or his reptilian skin or his leg or his toe, his arm or his elbow, that he's going to play? So the fact that he's not practicing today tells me that in all likelihood, we're not talking about Cal Ripken Jr. here. So I don't think it matters because I don't think that Sammy Watkins will be on the football field. It'd be great if he is, and it'd be even better if he puts up those numbers that you're talking about, but are you really counting on either one of those things?
I mean, I wouldn't count on Sammy Watkins to play just given that he hasn't practiced these last 2 days. I mean, maybe something changes tomorrow and he's a limited participant in practice, but I think that time was today. I think if he could potentially go in this game. Now, maybe he's a game-time decision, and we'll wake up on Sunday, and we'll see a tweet from Schefter, Ian Rappaport, that Sammy Watkins is going to try to give it a go. But as of now, I'm going to assume that he's not going to be there. I think they miss Mitchell Schwartz. I think back to the last really good defensive line that they went up against in the New Orleans Saints. Mahomes got hit 8 times in the game, 4 sacks, 8 tackles for losses. Mahomes fumbled the ball 2 times. You remember, he got hit in a way that I hadn't really seen him get hit before. And I think so much of this team's running game would be improved if they simply had Mitchell Schwartz and they could move some of the pieces around. I think we'll feel the loss of both of these guys, Because as much as you like Mecole Hardman, I don't know if he's willing to step in and be this in the postseason. Last year, 2 for 76, 7 for 14, 5 for 98 yards. Somebody's going to have to step up big in the passing game. Now, whether that's going to be Byron Pringle, whether that's going to be DeMarcus Robinson, whether it's going to be Mecole Hardman, but I don't think this team is going to drastically go from where they've been running the football to now being a team that's going to run the ball super effectively. They're going to need one of those other pass catchers to really step up in a big way in the postseason, because Sammy has been that player for them the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny how little we talk about Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. You realize that? Because they're just so consistent. Oh, he just goes out there and has 15 touchdowns and 1,300 yards. He's just on his way to a Hall of Fame. Or he just goes out there and has a bunch of – I mean, it's crazy because it comes down to those guys. We know that's what they're going to do. It's almost like with Patrick Mahomes. We do talk about him a lot, but we should probably talk about him even more. We've just gotten so used to these 400-yard and 4-touchdown games where I think that it's going to come down to who's that other guy again. And I can't predict that it's going to be Mecole Hardman that we saw last year in the playoffs have a big game, or Byron Pringle, who when he gets an opportunity, it seems like every time he shows out, or Sammy Watkins, if he's healthy. I'm not confident. It's going to be one of those guys. You would think that somebody's going to help this team. Somebody's going to catch passes that's not named Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. But if you want me to pin who it's going to be, man, I have absolutely no idea.
Let me get my one LeBron reference for the day in. I sort of look at them like the Lakers, those two. I know LeBron's going to score. I know AD's going to score. What's Kyle Kuzma going to do? What's Rondo going to do? What's Danny Green going to do? The last couple of years, you've had a guy in Sammy Watkins that you knew you could depend on. He was going to be on the field. He was going to have 60 yards receiving. He was going to help you move the chains and be big on third downs. They could potentially not have that guy at least for this game. Maybe they don't have him for the next game. Let's see how the playoffs progress. They certainly got a lot of names we can throw out there. DeMarcus Robinson's got to do it. Mecole Hardman's got to step up and do it. Byron Pringle, they got to trust him in a big spot where it's 3rd and 5. They're doubling Travis Kelce. They have taken away the over-the-top 4 Tyreek Hill. Somebody's got to make that play in the middle of the field.
A combination should be able to do that. Like, making up for, let's just say Watkins isn't there, C-Dot. I'm not going to go down the road of how they're going to make it up. A combination of DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, Garrett Dieter, whoever else is out there, Andre Bad Moon Rising comes back on a 10-day contract, whoever it is, you're right. Sammy Watkins, when the playoffs come around, is a much better wide receiver. But there's no reason the combination of all those guys that we just named can't put up those type of numbers.
We'll certainly see. I think Sammy Watkins has been a plus player. I think they really trust in how reliable he's been come postseason. We'll see if they don't have him on Sunday, who steps up in a big way. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about the Chiefs as being a double-digit favorite. Vegas thinks that Kansas City is going to take care of business. I think so as well. But that hasn't been the case for this team over the last couple of months. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. But before we do that, let's take a journey inside the mind of the machine.
The jet has landed and Urban Meyer is about to sign his new deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You pointed out very astutely last week that almost every time, whether it's Steve Spurrier or Nick Saban, or there's been a hundred of these examples that try their college, and Cliff Kingsbury this year going to the NFL and don't succeed. Short term, long term, how do you see it going for Urban Meyer and the Jags?
I don't see it going very well for Urban Meyer. I think that Jacksonville is way more worried about sizzle than substance. I think Urban Meyer is a great coach. I don't want anyone to take this like I don't think Urban Meyer is a great coach. I think he's a great college coach. This is a big jump late in your career, and we know the health issues that Urban Meyer has had. Is he going to be Trevor Lawrence's coach for his second contract? Because I think the odds strongly suggest that he's not going to be his coach for a second contract. Are you willing to invest that much time, money, and resources into a coach we don't think is going to be Trevor Lawrence's coach by year 5? Seems like a lot to me.
Got some sad news to report. Siegfried of Siegfried and Roy has passed away at the age of 81.
R.I.P.
8 months after his partner, at least work partner, Roy, passed away. So when those Lions or Tigers, whatever they are, oh my, are done in Las Vegas, they send them off to this, like, sanctuary, essentially, where they can roam free, C-Dot.
Sounds like the zoo in Oklahoma.
It pretty much is, and it's cheap. It only costs $15, and you can go essentially be amongst the Lions and Tigers. There's no Bears, oh my. If we happen to ever be in Vegas at the same time.
No. Is the answer to
and I'm
question.
Willing to pay the $15 for
I don't have
you.
What? Bro, How many times do you have to ask me?
I did the research.
No extreme sports questions.
It's not extreme
sports. To know that I don't want to do it.
I did the research. Zero people have ever been killed at this particular sanctuary. So your chances are very good that you're going to survive. It's almost like going to Worlds of Fun and riding a roller coaster. Just put on your seatbelt. You're going to be fine in all likelihood.
The Lions have it a lot better than the horses from the Derby. I'll tell you that. A
lot better.
You knew my answer to this question. You knew the answer was going to be no.
The place is super sick, Rob. Fine, I'll take you. Celebrity birthday time. How old is the great one, Wayne Gretzky, today? I know you're a huge hockey fan, C-Dot.
54.
So I can do the math. I think he came in the league in 87. I think he was 19. So 4 years plus 30. I'll say he's 53 today.
60.
Mm.
How old is...
Great math. Was Levine math.
How old is that?
Math
we didn't,
machine.
We didn't need that. I got an abacus over here. What do you want from me? Vince Carter.
44.
Ding, ding, ding. Shut up, Rob.
I'm going to say I asked him that one because he was just retired.
Yeah, 44.
Ellen.
She just got COVID.
She's got a lot of problems. Let's be honest with that.
Yeah, no, she definitely has a lot of problems. We've learned that over the course of
that's one thing we learned in quarantine.
I just want to know her age.
57.
54.
No, Ellen is 63 years old.
She still looks good.
Yeah, she does. No Odell Beckham in Cleveland for pretty much this entire year. C-Dot, are you ready to admit that you've overrated Odell Beckham the last handful of years?
No, not at all. I still think he's a top wide receiver in the league.
What's his future in Cleveland or anywhere?
I think he's getting traded.
Why would they keep him? What's the point?
I can see a team. Now, I'm not calling him Randy Moss. I don't want anyone to take it this way. We thought when Randy Moss was done, he got in a good situation with a good quarterback and a strong head coach, and he still had some great years left. I wouldn't count out Odell going to the right team in the right situation. I wouldn't count him out.
One time.
Is he still a top 10 receiver in the league? Probably not. I mean, look at Antonio Brown right now. Antonio Brown is starting to catch stride right now.
Let's see. Let's give a little bit of time.
I'm just saying, I mean, AB the last 5 weeks has played well.
Whatever happened with Randy Moss in his career is one of the weirdest things that's ever happened. So he was the premier wide receiver in the NFL for like 7-8 years. And then he goes to the Raiders. And it's not like he's good or average. He's bad. He did nothing. And then the next year, he goes to New England and has, what was it? 22 touchdowns? Is that right? 23 touchdowns? So that just goes to show you that when you're happy, you work better.
I'd be interested in Odell coming to Kansas City on a one-year prove-it type deal needing a veteran wide receiver that wants to come to a winning situation. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's going to be a team like that that signs Odell Beckham. I think it's going to be a good team that signs him next year.
I think that there's a sucker out there that's willing to give Odell Beckham more than 1 year right now, kind of like you, that would say, oh, you know what, he's still got some gas left
in
the tank.
He's 28 years old.
It's just the last 2 years he's really fallen off. Not just the injuries, the numbers, and the eye test. Out the gates, he was awesome. He's just not that same guy that you talk about anymore.
I mean, the last 2 years, he played with bad Baker Mayfield. And Baker was terrible last year, and he had 74 catches for almost 1,100 yards. This year, he just tore his ACL.
I don't know if you heard, but the Chiefs are playing the Cleveland Browns coming up on Sunday. The Cleveland Show, a spinoff of Family Guy, is probably the worst, most overrated cartoon I've ever seen. I only say overrated because it lasted like 4 years. No reason it lasted more than one episode.
For you to hate this show, it has really lived in the mind of the machine this week.
I've seen a lot of them.
Every day this week we've talked about this show, even though you hate this
show. I know all the words to the opening. My name is Cleveland Brown. Oh, maybe I don't. And I am here to say something. Old friends and new friends and even a bear. Anyway, what's the most overrated cartoon in your opinion? Because I've got one, and this is not going to be a popular take.
Yeah, I think you and I are different when it comes to, like, I wouldn't consider Cleveland Show to be a cartoon. I would consider it to be an animated series. Like, I think animated series and a cartoon are two different things.
Beavis and Butthead is the answer to this question. It's not that it was bad. It was just wildly overrated.
I think the show's really funny.
King of the Hill never did it for me, by the way. I was just too young, but King of the Hill is my
Bobby,
answer.
I love King of the Hill.
Futurama is probably the answer for
good
me.
Call.
I wasn't
bad.
A huge
good
I mean, I don't, I just, those aren't really my kind of shows. Like, I don't really watch them. I did like Arthur. I was a big fan of Arthur. Archer. That's the name of the show.
Archer, yeah. Archer, big fan of Arthur. He didn't even know his name.
Archer is the show I'm thinking of.
Bob's Burger is also good. It's the same voice. I like that,
Archer.
Too.
Bob's, I thought Archer was funny.
It may be a little overrated in its own right. It's good. Just people talk about it like it's the best thing since, you know, hamburgers. If the Chiefs need a new offensive coordinator, so let's say Bieniemy gets hired and Kafka gets hired, how about Brian Schottenheimer? Schottenheimer back in Kansas City make any sense?
Yeah, I don't think that Kafka has a chance to get hired at all this year.
Okay, so
I'm not saying I don't think he won't be an NFL head coach. I just think very few guys will have skipped as many steps as he will have skipped to get there. Like, I don't know if Philadelphia, because to me, Philadelphia is the only team that would consider hiring him right now.
I mean, to be fair, Zach Taylor skipped those steps.
Zach Taylor also was the offensive coordinator for 1 year.
That's
though.
True. What
I'm saying is now maybe Kafka becomes the offensive coordinator and doesn't have to go through the 3 year process, but it's tough to go from where Kafka is with no experience of calling plays, no offensive coordinator history, and then be an NFL head coach. Really difficult to do.
If that happened and you're Bienemy, do you block Kafka's number in your cell phone? I'd be pissed. I know it's not directly his fault. It's nothing to do with him, but I'd be bitter. I'd be upset about the whole thing. Drew Carey's from Cleveland. I'm sure you knew that. Host of Price is Right. Who does a better job hosting? Is it Drew Carey on Price is Right or Steve Harvey on Family Feud?
Probably Steve Harvey, because I think that show leads to more creativity than the, like, not many times people give wild answers on Price is Right. You know, like when they say a brand new car, nobody's like, $135,000 for a brand new Toyota Camry. Like, that's not really what they do. Where on Family Feud, they give such ridiculous answers so often that it just leads for more of your personality.
What's your favorite game on Price is Right? Plinko?
I like the Yodel game where...
Oh, the cliffhanger.
Yeah, I like that game.
I love me some cliffhanger.
I love that one and the one where they do the putting. That's cool, too.
I don't know that they've done that in 15 years. I could be wrong, but I'm a fan. I watch it as often as possible. Haven't seen that game since, I don't know, 2004. You've made it outside the Might of the Machine, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino is where it's at.
Coming up next, Vegas sees the Chiefs as a double-digit favorite, but they haven't beaten a team by double digits since November 1st. What does that mean? We'll discuss it. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to play this audio for you. This is from Sean's favorite radio show, The Herd. Peter King went on there, and he said what a lot of people have been saying about the Chiefs over the last few weeks.
Colin, you look at two things here. It has been 10 weeks since the team with the best record in football blew anybody out. 10 weeks since they won a game by double digits. They have been playing nail biters for 2 months.
So let's eliminate the Week 17 game because that was obviously the exception to the rule. But the last time that the Chiefs beat a team by more than 9 points was November 1st against the New York Jets. They beat them 35-9. Since then, we have seen 33-31, 35-31, 27-24, 26-16, 33-27, 32-29, and 17-14, their last win over the Atlanta Falcons. Vegas obviously doesn't care about that. The public obviously doesn't care about that. They are picking Kansas City to win and win big as double-digit favorites in this game. What do you think the line in the spread and the public confidence says towards the Chiefs heading into their game on Sunday against the Browns?
It says that, kind of like you and I have been saying all year, we understand the Chiefs were the Super Bowl champions, that they were on their way to the one seed, which eventually they got, and that they were coasting, and that they weren't trying to impress people the same way Buffalo was or some of these other teams by blowing out their opponent. They were trying to win these games, which, by the way, they ultimately did. It is a little bit concerning that we're talking about the Chiefs haven't had a double-digit win since the day after Halloween, and I'm pretty sure most people listening know this, but since Halloween, we've had, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened since the Chiefs went out there and blew out their opponent, but I don't buy into Peter King or Colin's reason why. And if anybody can answer me this, please do, because I've been asking this now since the Chiefs decided to rest their players in Week 17. Jay's Southland Tow Service text line 913-576-7610. The old rest versus rust thing. How come if you've got 1 week off, then that's a good thing? Like, everybody would agree that you want the bye so you can rest, and this year you can avoid the COVID. I'm not even talking about where the games play at home field advantage. We just would all agree that the NFL determines that the best thing for the best team is to give them a week off. That's what they've dictated by their rule. but 2 weeks is a bad thing and 2 weeks is taboo? That makes absolutely no sense to me. And if your only argument is, well, how about you, Sean? Let's say you take a week off your show. Are you going to be the same or is it going to take you a while to get back in the swing of things? I would say, yeah, it's probably going to take me a segment or two. But my answer would be, it doesn't matter if I take a week off or 2 weeks off. It's going to be the same. I've done this long enough. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, these guys have done this long enough where if your argument is they need to keep the chemistry and the rhythm and keep playing and keep winning, then cool, I won't argue that. But if your argument is 1 week off is good, but 2 weeks is bad, please explain to me why.
So Jeff Schwartz had this stat with Chiefs points coming off a bye with Reed and Mahomes. They have scored 31, 31, 35, 40, 40, and 51.
Damn.
So coming off a bye, they have put up a lot of points. The only argument I think there could potentially be to what you're saying, it's not me making it, but I'll try to make the argument.
Please.
Having a week rest in the NFL is normal. Every team in the NFL at some point has a week off. Every team in the NFL has a bye week. Every team goes through that. Having 2 weeks off in the NFL is abnormal. So there isn't really a lot of historical data points for teams that have things so clinched and so wrapped up that they get the 2 weeks off and what that does to the timing. I mean, the last example that we have is the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I'm not putting Kansas City in the same category as Baltimore, but Baltimore decided in week 17, we're not going to play. We're going to sit Lamar. We're going to sit all of our guys. We are going to focus in on the start of the playoffs. They then got off to a really slow start in that game, and then it was a snowball effect, and we obviously know how that ended up. I think that's really the only argument here. The only question I have about Kansas City in this game, I don't question if Kansas City is going to win. I don't question if they're going to score. I don't question their run defense against Cleveland. I question, are they going to start quickly? They haven't started quickly in their last four postseason games. Back to the AFC Championship game, they didn't score in the first half against the New England Patriots. They started slow against Houston, slow against Tennessee, and slow in the Super Bowl. If this team gets off to a normal start, they're good money. Are they going to play from behind? Are they going to play from a deficit? Are they going to constantly be trying to overcome their first 10 to 12 minutes of playing really poorly? That's the only question I have about Kansas City. I've been sitting here this whole time saying that Kansas City is going to score. I'm not worried about Chubb. I'm not worried about Hunt. I think they match up perfectly against Cleveland. But how you find yourself in an upset scenario is you start off really slow, like we just saw with Pittsburgh. The other team starts off really hot, like we just saw with Cleveland last Sunday.
So it's not a physical thing, the 2 weeks off. It's not a mental thing, the 2 weeks off. It's a lack of example. It's the fact that Baltimore and only a couple of other teams have ever been in that situation. I don't know about you listening right now, but if they offer me 1 week off at work, cool. You know what's better than that? Having 2 weeks off, and I'm going to be more refreshed and more excited to come back and ready to make money and make some sales and win some football games. So I just don't buy into that. And I know that sometimes you and I go back and forth and I say, well, C-Dot, you're looking for this team to be absolutely perfect. You're saying that they don't start well. So now in the last, let's call it 6 months, I've heard you complain that they don't finish well. Look at the final score. They didn't polish it off against Tampa or Miami or New Orleans. You mean games that they won? They didn't start well in the playoffs last year against these teams. I don't care. I don't think there's an MO for the Chiefs that you can just point to and say A leads to B and B leads to C. It'd be nice if they get off to a big start. It'd be nice if they get out there and they make Baker Mayfield throw the ball in the first half.
I don't need them to be
off to a deficit.
Start.
I'm not tripping at all.
I'm saying, but I don't need them to get off to. I don't need them to be up 21-0. I don't need them to be down 17-7 heading into halftime. That's all I'm saying here. I'm not saying they got to come out here and from the go, Mahomes got to throw for 500 yards in the first half. I don't need them to do that. I don't need them to beat the Browns like the Lions got beat a few weeks ago by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I think you put yourself in bad deficits. If you're going to be upset by the less talented team, it typically starts with you letting them hang around for longer than they should. Vegas thinks that Kansas City is going to blow Cleveland out. I think they're going to blow them out. You think that Cleveland's going to be able to run the football effectively. If Cleveland starts out really hot in this scenario and they find themselves up 17-7 at halftime, you know what you're going to see a lot in that second half? You're going to see a lot of Nick Chubb. You're going to see a lot of Kareem Hunt as they try to really sit on the ball and really pound Kansas City. That's how you get upset in this scenario. That's all I'm saying here. Again, I'm not saying Kansas City has to come out here on fire. I'm not saying that. I've said from the beginning, I don't think that there's this magical switch that the Chiefs haven't flipped that now they're going to go out here and run through these first three playoff games. But I don't think it's a good formula to consistently find yourself down and playing as poorly as they've played in the first half in their four consecutive games. Eventually, that gets you beat.
See, the thing about Cleveland is they're so much more flawed than we're talking about. I don't know why, and I'm guilty of this. building up their running game and saying Baker Mayfield's turned a corner and they got the coach of the year. They also, C-Dot, lost to the New York Jets 26 days ago.
I don't count that game. I know okay, you fine. Count it.
Let me give you another stat. Maybe you care about this one. They gave up 37 points 5 days ago in three quarters. So, yeah, it was great that they put up 48 or 50, whatever it ended up being, and scored 28 in the first quarter. That's great. But tell the whole story. Look what they did the last three quarters. So the Cleveland defense, if you can give up almost 40 points in three quarters to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who at that point had laid down and quit, what are the Chiefs going to do to you when they're trying to get to an AFC championship game?
That's what I've been saying all week. I think Cleveland has the worst defense remaining in the playoffs. When we talked about it before the playoffs started, what team did you want Kansas City to play in the second round? I said Cleveland because of their defense. I don't think there's any way Cleveland can stop Kansas City. Outside of turnovers and something fluky happening, I don't think there's any way Cleveland can stop Kansas City.
What do you think is the baseline? What do you think, like, Kansas City is going to put up at least blank?
35.
I'm with you.
35, and I think they can score 50. I legitimately think they could score 50 on Cleveland if they come out and play a full 60 minutes, which you've been saying they've been saving for this game. If they play a full 60 against Cleveland, they will score 50 points.
When you just said you were like, oh, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 500 yards and five touchdowns in the first half, I kind of thought, probably not. Probably not. I don't think he's going to, but this feels like a get-right game for a lot of guys. And Cleveland, it also feels like they've got one way to beat you in this football game. Baker Mayfield has to play ball control. They got to control the clock. They can't turn the football over. And they have to rush for like 250 yards. They have to basically be perfect. The Chiefs, we've seen this year, there's a lot of different ways for them to win a football game.
Coming up next, we'll open up the phone lines. 913-576-7610. Vegas thinks that the Chiefs are going to win big. Do you think they're going to win big? And speaking of big, the price to get into the stadium is big. We'll talk about that. Stick around. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll go to the phone lines momentarily. I just have one question to ask you guys, and I promise you it will take less than 90 seconds. Here's Juju Smith-Schuster.
Do you feel like this Browns team has a different vibe, a more successful vibe than what you've seen in the past from them?
Nah, I think they're still the same Browns team I play every year. I think they're nameless, great faces. Yes, they have a couple good players on their team, but at the end of the day, like, I don't know. Like, it's the Browns, it's the Browns. And that's just, like, one of those things that, you know, AFC North football, and they're a good team, but I'm just happy we're playing them again, you know, this Sunday.
So we all know how that story ended. The Cleveland Browns went into Pittsburgh and gave them the absolute beats. You know that Pittsburgh is still talking about the Cleveland Browns? Rob, hit some sad violin music here. This is from Chase Claypool. If the Browns had won with more class, then I wouldn't have been so salty about it. But the Browns just kept mocking Juju during the game, and after the game, that just didn't sit right with me. They were just super classless, you know, against Juju and towards Juju, what they were saying on the field towards the end of the game. So I'm just not going to have any respect for a team that doesn't respect us. They can enjoy their win and another week of football, but they'll soon be on the couch right next to me, so it's all good. Pittsburgh, you've talked more about Cleveland this week than Kansas City! And they're actually playing them in the playoffs. When is Pittsburgh going to stop talking? Can you let me know when this is going to happen? Pittsburgh has been talking for the last 5 weeks. They've only won one time in the last 5 weeks.
You didn't hear a bunch from Pittsburgh, from Roethlisberger, Tomlin, or Juju, or any of these guys when they were winning. And then when they started losing, all of a sudden, Mike Tomlin had a couple of press conferences, and Big Ben was talking about retiring or not, and Juju Smith-Schuster had a lot to talk about. That's what happens, man. Well, all of a sudden, when you're not good at football anymore, you got to keep telling people you are.
You just can't talk to me about class when one of your players was dancing on the other team's logo before the game and uploading it onto the internet. You can't talk to me about class. I don't have any issues with what Juju wants to do. I don't have any issues with how Cleveland's played it. But you can't talk to me about winning with more class when you're dancing on other teams' logos. Like, I can't. You can't do both out here.
They're a little confused. Is Juju his real name? That can't be his real name.
Just Juju stop Smith talking. Juju. Doesn't make any sense. You asked a question before we had to take a break about rest versus rush. You wanted some help from the phone line. What was your question?
Yeah, I was just curious how, because is the reason that 1 week of rest is good because that's what the NFL's dictate and that's what history tells us, and 2 weeks is bad because it's taboo and we haven't seen it? Because I don't know about y'all at your job, but if the boss offers me 1 week off, I say yes. If he offers me 2 weeks off, I give that gentleman a hug because I'll come back much better and much better rested. So I understand that if you don't want to take a week off, sometimes there's a bye and you'll hear somebody say, oh, the bye came in a bad week because the team's cooking. I get that. I understand chemistry and rhythm and all that. But if you're going to take 1 week off, and that's a good thing, why isn't 2 weeks off better?
I just have one quick question before we go to the phone line just to play the other side of it. If you took 2 weeks off, how many days into the week do you think it would take you to be back to 100% at work?
Zero. That's what I was trying to tell you earlier.
I'm saying is you think you'd be off Tuesday, or you'd be off 2 weeks, and then that Monday you're coming in here, you're just firing.
Dog, I ain't a rookie. Like, it's not that I've been doing this for a long time, the same way that all these guys have been doing it for a long while. And I'm not, even if you are a rookie, you've still been playing football for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be that on Monday.
Yeah, give me a segment. The first segment, I might not be good. My point
you're
is.
You're a lot better than me, because it takes me like Wednesday to like be 100% where technically keeping up with sports. Like, I don't know about you, in them 2 weeks, I ain't really keeping up with sports the exact same. I'm really enjoying my 2 weeks. Like, I'm really taking a vacation and a break.
What's the difference, though, between 1 week and 2 weeks? That's what I'm asking.
I mean, I haven't taken a week vacation in like 7 years.
So you don't know. So you don't know what it's like. That's the answer. So you're coming back to the same answer you're giving me. Like, oh, well, we haven't seen a lot of NFL teams that have had success giving players 2 weeks off. So that means it's bad.
I think they're going to play well. I'm just pointing it out. I mean, I think they're going to play really well in this game. I think they're going to win the game.
I'm telling Speck to take away one of your vacation days for that.
I got 3 weeks, so you can have one of them. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Larry, you called into the drive. 913-576-7610. Go ahead, Larry.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to weigh in on your conversation earlier about having 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
I don't see what the difference is in any other team that every year, you know, they all get a bye. So they basically get the same amount of time off. And I don't see where that's affected Kansas City in the past.
Well, Larry,
actually, they've been better coming off of a bye.
Oh, they've been as good as anybody's ever been coming off of a bye. We know that with Andy Reid. I think that because the NFL has dictated historically that the way that they're going to reward the best teams is they're going to give the two top teams a bye. Now, we know this year they changed it to one, but follow me here. So 1 week off is your reward. So you don't have to risk COVID. You don't have to go travel. You can sleep in your own bed. There's a lot of things that you can stay off your feet. And we got a lot of texts that are like, you know, these guys are practicing, right, Sports Machine? Yes, I understand. But we all know that practice is different from a game. Being off a week is better than playing. I still haven't got an answer of why 2 weeks off isn't better. And there probably is something to what you said. Like, you come back and you got to have rhythm. And for Patrick Mahomes, haven't we seen him buck the trend enough times where are you really worried about that guy picking up his rhythm? I bet the first time you see him on the field, he goes down the field, he throws a bomb, he's like a perfect 4 for 4, and he's got a touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone that you've never seen. And then all the talk we've been saying over the last 2 weeks, uh-oh, what's Pat going to look like? What are they going to look like? Rest versus rust is never going to be spoke of again.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Terry, you called into the drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Chiefs. Go ahead, Terry.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller. I enjoy your guys' show.
Thank you.
Hey, just real quick. I hope I'm wrong. I disagree with Vegas. I look at the way that both teams have played the last 3 or 4 weeks. The Browns are hot. The Chiefs are stagnant. The Chiefs have trouble scoring touchdowns in the red zone lately. I see Edwards-Helaire not playing. Sammy Watkins not playing. I just don't see it. I see a close game. And actually, I see Cleveland winning, just to be honest. And if I can end with that, I'll tell you two things real quick that are my pet peeves that I wish I could see change with the Chiefs. First is, I like Eric Bieniemy, his play calling, but I'm really tired of seeing his 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 when we're down in the other team's territory and they run up the middle. And it doesn't work 1st down, so they try to get on 2nd down. I'm tired of that stupidity. Second thing I'd like to see our secondary. Once in a while, you've seen these routes of other teams. You've studied them. You've watched films. You've seen them for years. When are you going to start jumping the route once in a while and making an interception? I'm tired of seeing them playing 10 yards off the receiver, only to let them get the catch, and then try to make the tackle, tackling up high, trying to strip the ball. Man, these guys got to tackle low and start making the tackles. You see them, all these teams in the playoffs that tackle low against guys that are strong. That's what makes the difference. You can't try to tackle high and this guy gets another 5 yards while you try to strip the ball.
Got
to
wrap up, C-Doc. Got to lower the head, got to wrap up, got to drive the legs. That's what Joe Renzi taught me in 8th grade. And don't forget, I played on the B team at Harmony Middle School, so I know what I'm talking about.
I just want to point out that you are for opening the phones and opening the show up to more people like Terry. That's, I just want to point that out here. You're thrilled we're taking more phone calls. I'm trying to.
No, no, no. You didn't get to walk away from this one. You were pro the calls, but in the playoffs.
I'm trying
to
change in 2021. I'm trying to change.
This evil is on that room.
We want more people picking the Browns here. This man was the offensive and defensive coordinator for the team. That's what we want more on the show. That's what you guys wanted in 2021.
No, but hey, you know what? I'm actually glad because he made me pull up the Browns schedule. You keep talking about, not just you, everybody. Well, the Chiefs aren't really beating people that convincing. The Browns, when they beat the Bengals earlier this year, 37-34.
You don't get to do this. I've been telling you this about the Browns all season.
Bro, they beat Houston 10-7. They beat Philly 22-17. They beat Jacksonville 27-25. Remember that game with Baltimore that they lost, that epic 47-42? Since then, they lost to the damn Jets, and they beat Pittsburgh when Pittsburgh was playing their backups. Maybe you were onto something. That's all I'm saying. What? It took me a while.
I was saying all this on the show. All of this on the show.
Was I here?
There was a time.
Was I sitting in this chair?
It wasn't that long ago when you were picking every team in the AFC. And then you landed on Cleveland.
Yeah.
And everything I told you about Cleveland, you just said in the last 30 seconds. And you were like, nah, you just hating. Give them. I was like, all right, now you're here. It took till the Thursday before they played him in a playoff game. Now you're here with
Cleveland.
I didn't
think they were really going to be here. It was fun talking about the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield and all these things in the regular season. I thought that was like a game we were playing. I didn't really think the Chiefs were going to. Did you really think, like, midway through the season when Cleveland was trending in the right direction, that at some point they were going to come to Arrowhead? I figured at some point they'd Cleveland Brown and miss the postseason and screw something up or miss their flight and wouldn't end up here.
I kept telling you they were going to make the playoffs. I kept saying this.
I'll be damned.
I've been right about Cleveland all season. Clap for me. I've been right. Text line 913-576-7610. Carrington, you don't like taking calls because someone might have a different opinion than yours. We're taking phone calls every day they're in the playoffs.
Different opinion's not bad. Bad opinion is bad. And picking the Cleveland Browns is bad, too.
I mean, Sean has a different opinion than me all the time. He is the Chiefs not losing for the next 7 years. Mahomes is going to win every MVP. No other quarterback in the NFL is ever going to win a Super Bowl. That happens. That's constant on this show. What Rob, are you guys talking about?
Rob, you're here with us every single day.
If I didn't like anybody to have a different opinion than me, I'd be the only one talking.
And I'm sure that you listen to this.
We would never play any audio. We'd never interview anybody. Hey. It'd just be me talking.
Rob, I'm sure you listened to this show last year, too.
Show would be called The Drive. BK, it'd be Carrington Thanks. That's done, the name of the
he's
show.
Done, we've been hosting the show now for 2 years come April. I'm done taking the crap for saying the Chiefs are going to win every single week. Because you know what? I've been right every single time except for like five. Then last year I said they're going to win the Super Bowl. Well, they did. So I was right about that. There's two things I'm not going to let you say, oh, Sean's such a homer on. Chiefs football and Kansas basketball. Last year when I kept saying KU basketball is the best team and they're going to be the one seed and they got the best players. Well, if they would have had a damn tournament, who is going to be the one seed? The number one overall seed?
Kansas.
Okay. Who's the one seed right now in
We've
the
AFC?
We've
heard all this before. Who's you're the right. Super Bowl champion? Okay, you're right. Okay. You're right.
All right, Hope Harrison. When the Royal season comes around, you can be Hope Harrison again, all right?
Yeah, and they'll hit their over again on wins.
Okay.
Coming up at the top of the – you have been concerned about the Browns running game. I'm going to give you a stat that should lock in and in any conversation tomorrow of your fear when it comes to the Browns running game. I'll give you that stat next. Stick around. It's a drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.